Let's open our Bibles to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. Our pastor's in Cottageville this morning preaching for Mike Walker. I think Mike and his wife were getting away for the weekend. So thankful for them, the opportunity to hear Frank preach, and thankful for the Walkers get a chance to kind of get away. But before we begin our lesson, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together, or to come here together to hear a portion of thy word. I pray you bless your word this morning. Bless it here and bless it in all places where men whom you called to this work stand to proclaim your gospel. Lord, we thank you for your kindness and your mercy towards us. Lord, how we thank you for our families. We thank you for our homes. Thankful for all that thy hand has provided. Lord, cause us to have thankful hearts. Lord, for those of our number who are sick, Lord, those who are hurting, those who are in a time of trouble, Lord, we pray you comfort and strengthen your people. And Lord, those who care for them, those who care for those who are, Lord, in trouble, Lord, bless and protect and keep. And in all things, teach us to look to thee, rest in thee. Again, we thank you for your many blessings, but above all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Numbers 21. Now, before we look at our text, I want to read a passage of Scripture from Deuteronomy. Hold your place there and look over at Deuteronomy 6. Look here at these first 12 verses of Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life. Thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity this morning to have, I guess most of the time when I'm out here for Sunday school, I feel like I'm teaching to my kids, and you guys just kind of set in. But I'm thankful that we can sit here together this morning. I believe this passage of Scripture serves as a good reminder to us. our responsibility to teach our children. Teach our children the things written in God's Word. This is not just something that they get in our Bible classes. It's not just something they get for when we have summer Bible school. We're certainly thankful for those things. But God's Word is something that they need to hear at all times. We read here in this passage of Scripture, he said, teach them to fear. Teach them to fear the Lord thy God. Teach them to hear. Teach them to hear that the Lord God, He's one Lord. To fear Him, to hear Him. And then in verse 5 he says, teach them to love. Teach them to love the Lord thy God. With all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Verse 7 he says, teach them diligently. Now if you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that word diligently. It means to whet or sharpen. Me and Earl were talking about this earlier this morning. When you sharpen a knife, when you sharpen a knife, you drag that knife over that whetstone back over and over again. And it doesn't get that knife sharp the first time you hit it on the whetstone, does it, Earl? You can't just drag it across one time and get it sharp. It's something that it's constant. It's constant. And that knife doesn't stay sharp forever. You have to go back to sharpen it again. And that's what he's telling us. He said, teach him diligently. And we all need to be taught diligently. We need to be told these things over and over and over again because we're so quick. Oh, how quick we are to forget. We continually come to the worship service to hear his word. Over and over again. Tell me the old story. Just over and over again. We'll continue our reading here. Look at verse 7. He says, you teach them diligently. He said, you teach them when you sit in the house. When you sit down to eat. When you sit down in the living room. We give thanks, don't we? He said, teach them continually. When you're sitting in the house, when you're sitting in the living room. He said, when you walk by the way, whether that's a long journey or whether it's just a trip out into the backyard. God's creation is majestic. It's always on display. There should always be a time that we can recognize the work of God's hand. Even in a blade of grass or a flower, the sky, whatever it might be. But he said, when you walk by the way, he said, when you lie down or when you rise up in the morning, when you lie down, thankful that the Lord has brought us through another day. When you rise up in the morning, thankful that he's brought us through the night. Pray that he'd give us strength to make it through another day, that he'd grant us presence. Teach him at all times. Look at verse 9. He said, write them on the post of your house. So the post of your house, it's the first thing you see when you walk in, and it's the first thing you see when you walk out. Just continually talking of him. And it shall be, when the Lord God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities. Consider how the Lord has blessed us. All that he has blessed his people with. Look at verse 12. He said, beware. Beware. Lest you forget the Lord, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Beware lest you forget. Well, turn back to Numbers 21. Look, beginning with verse 3 of Numbers 21. It says here, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and they called the name of the place Hormah. They named it after what had happened there. It was just total destruction. The Lord had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage. They were slaves. The children of Israel were slaves to the Egyptians. And God delivered them in a miraculous and a mighty way. Consider the things that they had seen. The children of Israel, they had seen those plagues that had been brought upon the Egyptians. Just imagine what that had to be like. And yet they were safe. They were kept. The children of Israel were kept from those things. That final plague. The final plague where God came through and he slew the firstborn in the house of the Egyptians. They heard those cries. They heard the cries that went up from Egypt. The scriptures declare there was not a house among the Egyptians where there was not one dead. And yet, the children of Israel, under the blood, they were safe and secure. They woke up that morning safe and secure. But to the sound of the cry of the Egyptians who had lost their firstborn. God said this, he said to Moses, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. They had seen the parting of the Red Sea. What a miraculous sight that had to be. Not only that it was parted, Moses lifted up that rod and the sea parted, and they walked through not with their feet coming off or their shoes coming off because it was stuck in them. They walked through on dry ground. And he said, remember Moses said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show you this day. And again, he lifted up that rod and they walked through on dry ground, right through the midst of the sea. God said, I'm going to deliver you. Not the Egyptians, but I'm going to deliver my people, Israel. And he saved the children of Israel, and he destroyed those Egyptians that would try to walk through that same path. Those walls of water just collapsed on them. We read that when Israel saw that great work, which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, they feared the Lord, they believed the Lord, and his servant Moses. Everything was great. They saw that, and it was just, they couldn't believe what they saw. It was good. And the Lord fed the children of Israel. He fed them manna, quail, gave them water from a rock. Think about that. Think about all that they had seen. Think about all that. Are you still in Numbers 21? Here in verse 3, we read that the Lord had once again had hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. Utterly, utterly destroyed. Once again, they had saw the mighty hand of God. But look here in verse 4. Here we see man's rebellion. Man's rebellion. Despite all that, all that they had seen, all that God had done for them, man's rebellion. Look at verse 4. They journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged. Much discouraged because of the way. How can they possibly be discouraged? Can we relate to that, though? How often do we get discouraged because of the way? They went around, you know, instead of just going across, they compassed the land. And the way was a little longer than they expected. Doesn't that happen to us often? Well, this isn't the way we thought things would go. We think it would be better to go this way or to do this or to do that. But the Lord directed that path, didn't he? The people grew weary. And despite what we've seen, we ourselves, think of what we've seen in our time and what we've experienced of the Lord's mercy, of his provision, of his kindness, of his deliverance, of His grace to His people, how often we become discouraged because of the way. Look at verse 5. The people spake against God and against Moses. And they said, "Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." Beware, Israel, beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee up out of the land from the house of bondage. We could probably hang that on our sun visor somewhere, couldn't we? Or on the refrigerator. Beware lest you forget what the Lord has done for us. He delivered us. He brought us out of the house of, they were slaves. And how quickly they began to murmur and complain. They said, there's no bread and there's no water. I was reading on this, and that word bread, it actually means like cornmeal. That which you would crush up into like a flour or a meal for the purpose of making your own bread. That's what they wanted. God had provided them bread. God had provided them that manna. But they still had a desire to make their own bread. To do it their own way. That sound familiar? We'll have it our own way, won't we? Isn't that what we men still do today? We want to make our own bread. We want to have our own meal, have our own water, and make our own bread. Men say they want Christ, but they insist on the works of their hands. To make it their own way. This is a picture, again, of self-righteousness and rebellion and unbelief, which can be found in every last one of us. Israel blamed God and they blamed Moses. They said, this is your fault. But truly, the trouble was of their own making, just as ours. Wherefore, as by one man, by Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all. By nature, we all desire our own way. Isaiah 53:6. Turn over there. Isaiah 53:6. Here we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to whose way? To his own way. Everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." They were discouraged. Discouraged by the way. They spoke against God and Moses. They found fault with the bread from heaven, that which God had provided. Our Lord said this in John 6. He said, "I'm the living bread. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh?" We say the same thing as those Jews did back in their day. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Let's read on in our text. Back in Numbers. Look at chapter 21. Look at verse 6. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Here we see God's judgment. God's judgment. Because of Israel's sin and murmuring and rebellion, God judged the people. God sent these poisonous serpents, and they that were bitten died. God's going to judge sin. Our sins have separated us from We all have this same poison as the children of Israel did, this same poison flowing through our veins. It's sin. It's the sin of our father Adam, because when Adam fell, we all fell. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The wages of sin, death. The people, the children of Israel here, there was no cure for them. We just read this in the text. The serpents bit the people, and they died. And turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 15. Here we read that when lust conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That writing that was written on the wall for Belshazzar back there in the Old Testament, back in Daniel, it could just have easily been written on our wall. He said that thou hast been weighed in the balance and found wanting. So they asked Moses. Once this judgment was declared, once the people were dying, they went to Moses and they said, pray for us. Intercede. Intercede on our behalf. Man's sin and rebellion. We see God's judgment. And then last, God's remedy. God's remedy. Back to our text, back in Numbers. Here we see a picture of Christ, our Redeemer. Look at verse 8 and 9. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, the serpent was made in the likeness of the serpent that had bitten the people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was made in the likeness of the flesh. He was just like us, but without sin. He was sinless. The serpent of brass had no venom. The Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. He did no sin. He was in all points tempted, as are we, yet without sin. The serpent of brass was lifted up on a pole. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he said this himself. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And bearing our sins, he was nailed to the cross. Now in closing, I'd have you consider three things about this remedy. Real quick, three things about this remedy. First, the singleness of it. The singleness of it. There was only one remedy. Just one. It was the serpent on the pole. We have but one Savior. One Savior. One Redeemer. One Deliverer. One Substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ. Second, consider the simplicity of it. The simplicity of the gospel. Look and live. Look and live. God provided the remedy, and he said, look. Look. He didn't say, walk up an aisle. He didn't say, give your heart to Jesus. He didn't say, get your heart right with God. He didn't say, don't do this or do that. He said, look and live. The scriptures declare this. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth of God. And there is none else. This is the record. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. It's in the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son. And last, consider the certainty of it. The certainty of it. Verse 8 said this, when he looketh upon him, he shall live. Verse 9 said, it came to pass that if a certain serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Certainty of it. Our Lord spoke these words. He said this. I tell you what, turn and read it with me. Look over at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The certainty. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose none, but shall raise it up again the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Look. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last time. The singleness of it. Just one remedy. Christ and Christ alone. The simplicity. Look unto me and be ye saved. The certainty of it came to pass. Everyone that was bitten, when he beheld the serpent of brass, that's our hope, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ. Not in anything that we've done or could do. The best we could do is filthy rags in his sight. We look to Christ and we rest in him. May God bless his word.